Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we need to hear from thee this morning. Help me to hide behind the cross. Help me to say those things you would have said. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. If you would, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we went through the first nine verses in Psalm 37. And what you'll notice today is that there's going to be a lot of talk about the wicked. You'll see it there. Wicked is found 14 times in verses 7 through 40. Evildoers is found twice in verses 1 and 9. Workers of iniquity, verse 1. Enemies of the Lord, verse 20. Transgressors, verse 38. So this is a psalm about probably some people that gave David some problems. Remember in the last time we looked at it, it tells you to fret not there in verse 1. Trust in the Lord, verse 3. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Verse 8, cease from anger. And then verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So that's the context of which we're dealing with when we start in verse 10. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels or bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And we could go on. I'll go ahead and look at these verses first. But he talks about the meek there in verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek. Talks about devouring the righteous. In verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. You see, there's a day coming when God's going to judge the wicked. He's going to take care of it all. We don't have to do it ourselves. We don't have to take everything in our own hands. There are times when something happens and I just want to handle it, meaning, you know, in the world, the things of the world. And the Lord just gives me a peace and says, just back off. Let me take care of it. He does take care of it. And it isn't just extreme things like I'm thinking about now. He takes care of the little things too. Too many times we want to handle everything ourselves. We have a tendency to be very impatient people. We're not a patient people by any means, any stretch of the imagination. And the reason is because naturally we're impatient. By the way, I just want to say hello to Skinny Al. I mean, I looked at his face, you could see the skinny, but I was too close to him, and then I backed up, and he says, look, I dropped 30 pounds right there. And boy, what a difference. Welcome back. Well, good to see you and Carrie. Carrie's still carrying a little bit around with her on her cold and stuff, so she's precautionary. But it's good to see 20. We certainly miss you when you're not here, as we do all y'all when you're not here. All y'all, you know what that is. Y'all is everybody. All y'all's all everybody. Southern. All y'all. Yeah, I like that. So he shall laugh at him, verse 13. Sometimes we look at the Lord and we think, well, you know, he doesn't react the way we expect him to react. He's going to laugh at those that come to calamity if they spent their whole life destroying others. When they fall, remember, when your enemy falleth, rejoice not, because if the Lord sees it, he'll turn his wrath away from there in Proverbs 24. But you've got to make sure you don't take it into your own hands. Just leave it to God. Leave it to God. Let God take care of the problems in this life. Verse 17. He goes on, he says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied, fully gratified, no doubt about it. The book of Ruth pictures those that were not satisfied in time of famine. What'd they do? They went and sojourned in Egypt. You don't ever need to leave the Lord and go sojourn somewhere where God doesn't want you to be. Because if you do that, you are thinking that I have to handle it myself, because in all wisdom, it seems like it's the right thing to do. You don't need to do what you think is right. You need to actually do what is right. And that comes from the Bible. I don't know if I gave you this the other day, but verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You look at the Vanderbilts. Cornelius Vanderbilt, he was he was 1794, he was born, till 1877. He died, he was worth $105 million. To put that in context, in 1860, before the Civil War, the gross domestic product of America was $63 million, and he was worth $105 million, more than the gross domestic product of all of America in one year. His son William, who was worth twice as much, he said, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There's no pleasure in it. See, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the thing is, money doesn't satisfy. You look at the billionaires. I was watching something on George Soros last night, and his power and how he influences, and it's amazing. Would you think he's a happy man? No. But he's got a lot of money. And the thing is, money doesn't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies in this life was the reason that you were created, and that is to please the Lord. Therefore, the only thing that satisfies is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And even that cannot be satisfactory if you don't live it right. You start looking at the world and looking out and saying, man, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I gotta stop it all. Boy, you are in for a hurting, a whooping, because you can't do it. Here's what I tell people, and this is what I try to do. I try to influence people that I can influence. I'm not here to influence the world. I'm not here to influence America. I'm not really here to influence Florida, maybe not even Okaloosa County, but I am here to influence you. I'm here to influence Niceville. I'm here to influence those within my realm of potential to influence. But we got to be realistic, even if you try to influence people and try to help people. And by the way, when I say influence, I do mean for good. Just want to clarify that. I want to influence people in righteousness to do right, live right, be right, because that's what life is all about. You know, the Bible promises that God shall supply all your need. All your need. He says, in famine they shall be satisfied. God promises to supply all your need. So look, if you see that the world's going in the wrong direction, you think it's all going to implode, and by the way, it probably will, don't worry about it. You do the things that you can control and you can take care of and you can give to God, and then you let everything else go. Don't get all wrapped up in trying to fix things that you can't fix. By the way, you can't fix dumb. I was going to say stupid, but you can't fix that. I mean, when you look at what's going on in the world, there's a lot of dumb things going on. You just try to influence those in your realm of influence. Verse 20, he goes on and he says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away? Well, that's a pretty tough verse. 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man, many of you remember this verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Look at Psalm 119. And we'll just look at one verse. 119 is the largest psalm in the Bible. We're going to look at verse 133. What's the Bible say? It says, order my steps, this is a prayer request, in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See, you're a sinner, but you don't have to let iniquity have dominion over you. And the prayer is, order my steps in the word. Proverbs 16:9 says, the Lord directed his steps. I want the Lord to direct my steps. I don't want to go my way. I want the Lord's will done. I tell you all the time, you ought to pray every single day, not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup of God's wrath and indignation that was going to be poured out on his son, and that separation, the sin that he's going to take upon himself. He prayed and he said, Lord, I know what that cup is. I know I was born for this purpose. I know I'm going to the cross. But Lord, if there's any other way, let it be done. And then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. Why is that? Because he was in his humanity just like us. Now, he didn't sin, but he had frailties. He hungered. He thirsted. Did he fear? Did he experience shame knowing he was going to take our sin upon him? We don't know exactly what he experienced. We just know that he was tempted in all points like as we are, but without sin. He's God and he's man. And that's what we need to remember. So as it goes on, he says, verse 23 again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So if you look at verse 23, the Bible says he directed his route. Verse 23 again, he delights. The delight is a reaction to that. And then verse 24 is a divine rescue. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You remember Peter on the water, and he cried out in Matthew 14, and he said, you know, he was getting ready to sink. Why? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to sink, and the Lord just reached right out there and plucked him up. That's the way it is. What did the Lord do? Peter cried out to him, and the Lord was there. The Lord was there the whole time. But it took crying out to him. What caused it? Well, he took his eyes off the Lord. Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, look at verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So does the Bible say that the just man will fall? Sure he will. You're not promised never having any failure in your life. You're not promised that you're going to walk down a path and never be taken off that path, that somehow it's just going to be a rose garden, you might say. No, the Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times. Not once, not twice, seven times. But what does it say? And riseth up again. He has to rise up all six times. He rises up the seventh time, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The verse I quoted to you, I want to give it to you again, verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So the Bible basically says, listen, if you've got an enemy, you've got somebody treating you wrong, doing you wrong, don't rejoice. When you go, oh, I can't judge nothing. No, you've got to judge everything. And the world is trying to tell us, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Because if good people do nothing, sin will flourish. So what do? You stand up and you do what the Bible says. You say, well, I'm afraid. You ought to be. Because if you judge hypocritically, you yourself will be judged by it. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:15, he says, judge ye not what I say. When I look at the Bible, I judge some things in the Bible. Now, cautiously. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about the Lord's Supper, he says, judge our, if we would judge ourselves, that's what we're supposed to do. In John chapter 12, the Bible says the Word of God's going to judge you in the last days. There's a lot about judging in the Bible. What's the one verse everybody knows? Judge not that you be not judged. And they do not read the context. You better understand the context of any verse in the Bible in order to understand truth, because learning one verse doesn't give you truth if the context means something opposite of what you believe or what you've been taught. So when you hear somebody say, judge not, you be not judged, in your heart, just smile. Well, you know, the Bible says, listen, unless you've got time, don't waste your breath. You just work on yourself. And I don't mean going around here and judging everybody and looking at them. And, you know, first of all, you're judging outward appearance. You're told not to do that. But when you look at it and they say, well, you know, a man says, well, I love men, you know, in that sense. And a woman says, well, I'd rather be with a woman. Judge it. Bible says it's wrong. So you judge it. What about children? Judge it. Now, does that mean you've got to stand up and be hard to live with or hard to be around? No, it doesn't mean that. And I'm not trying to express that to you. But I just want you to know that the Bible does not say and does not convey the thoughts that the world puts in your mind. The world tries to convince you that you need to just get along. We all need to be in unity. Only unity around the truth. That's the only time you're supposed to have unity, is around the truth, not around error. And we could go on, try the spirits and all that. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Let me look at it and see if I can do justice. I'd love to finish it. Let's see. Lord loveth judgment, verse 28, verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever, talking about Israel. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Boy, you look at the green bay tree, and that's the wicked, and he's just spreading himself everywhere. Yet, verse 36, he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. There, it's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody's going to die. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how many homes you own, how many boats you own, how many, whether they're yachts or fishing boats. It doesn't matter. Everybody is not going to take a U-Haul behind them to heaven behind the hearse. Ain't going to happen. He goes and he says in verse 37, mark the perfect man. Perfect can mean complete. It doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark him. Because that man, the end of that man is peace. You know what I have? I have perfect peace. The whole world can be in turmoil. My world around me can be in turmoil. But if I focus on the right thing, that's on the Lord, I have peace that passeth all understanding. Peace that the world can't give me. Peace that keeps my heart sound. The Bible tells you to mark people as an ensample in Philippians 3:17. Romans 16:17 says, mark them which cause divisions. So you're supposed to mark people. You say, well, what does that mean? Judge. Mark them. If you have somebody that causes division, mark them. You know the worst thing you can do with somebody that gossips? Say, well, I just want to hear what they got to say. And when they walk away from you How much do you think you can trust them with what you've just conveyed to them? And by the way, you know what a gossip does many times? He gossips in order to find out. Notice I said he. Purposefully so, because men are gossips too. Notice that they'll talk in order to elicit whatever they want out of you. And when they get your, you'll go, man, how did I ever tell them that? Because gossips are some of the best at getting information out of other people. If they gossip about other people to you, they will gossip about you to other people. Mark them. But he also says, mark the perfect man, verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. It goes all the way back to the first words of verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. If you're spending all your time fretting because of what evil people do, you're out of focus. You're out of focus. Trust in the Lord. Delight in Him. Well, look at verse 4. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 4. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know what I want Him to do? I want Him to give me the right desires. How do you do that? Delight myself in Him. You better be doing some judging. But again, the caution is, be careful. You'll reap what you sow. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. If you think people are harsh with you, it could be that you are reaping what you sow because you are harsh toward other people. So you can judge. And if you're spiritual, you'll judge all things. But not everybody's as spiritual as they judge themselves to be. That's the caution. That's the caution. You realize that if you could get what I just gave you there and you can actually implement it in your life and stay right with God and be the spiritual person, what a different world it would be. You know what judges better have? That discernment there. You know what our problem is in today with a lot of judges that are lost? They have no Bible. They discount the Bible. There is no truth. There are no absolutes. You know, if you have no absolutes, how in the world could you be a judge? Just do it all right. That's what I tell you. Stand together, please. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. We just ask that you guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we need to hear from Thee every day. We need to draw nigh unto You. You'll draw nigh unto us. Help us to judge righteous judgment. Help us to be spiritual and judge all things. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed.